from everything whatever. And in the same way, to determine himself, to posit any content in himself by his own effort.
Some people believe that subjective freedom permits arbitrary, indulgent behavior. But Hegel disagrees. He thinks even subjective freedom must be rational.
The idea that people most commonly have of freedom is that it is arbitrariness, the mean chosen by abstract reflection between the will wholly determined by natural impulses and the will free absolutely. If we hear it said that the definition of freedom is ability to do what we please, such an idea can only be taken to reveal an utter immaturity of thought, for it contains not an inkling of right, ethical life, and so forth. Instead of being the will in its truth, arbitrariness is more like the will as contradiction.
Hegel says subjective freedom is negative and abstract. It sees the individual only in isolation. But concrete or objective freedom is realized in a social order, where free people interact according to ethical principles and a legal system. He thinks that actual freedom depends on social and political institutions, which mediate between conflicting desires and interests. So, to achieve real freedom, we need to unify the individual will and the universal will of the political, social, and ethical world.
In this identity of the universal will with the particular will, right and duty coalesce. And by being in the ethical order, a man has rights insofar as he has duties, and duties insofar as he has rights.
When the universal and the particular wills come together, Hegel believes the universal will, finally expressed in the state, will no longer be an alien authority imposed on an individual. Rather, the universal will then represents each individual. People will obey the law, not because they're forced to, but because they see it as a civilizing force which expresses their own will. Here Hegel attacks the idea that political authority is naturally opposed to the will of the individual. On the contrary, he says, the state loses its rationality and legitimacy if it fails to express the will of its citizens. Like Plato and Aristotle, he emphasizes that the ethical and legal community must nurture its members. He recalls the advice given by an ancient philosopher.
When a father inquired about the best method of educating his son in ethical conduct, an ancient philosopher replied, "Make him a citizen of a state with good laws."
So Hegel says that freedom becomes actual through the social, ethical, and political structures that make up the objective mind. But his concept has been open to many attacks. The debate continues. We've seen how Hegel says the mind develops through three stages: the subjective mind, the objective mind, and the absolute mind. The second stage, the objective mind, is an especially controversial concept. The debate over this concept continues to this day. No one can say the matter's been settled, but we can best understand what's at stake by looking at Hegel's idea that the objective mind, the second stage, passes through three phases. These phases are the family, civil society, and the state. To begin with, Hegel sees the three phases as ever-widening spheres of community. The family is obviously the smallest and most intimate. The family opens up to the larger sphere of civil society, and the state is the third most comprehensive unity. The spheres do not succeed one another. They're all together at the same time. Yet some sort of developmental process is involved. Hegel says,
"The state appears as a result in the advance, through displaying itself as the true ground of the earlier phases, family and civil society. Actually, the state is not so much the result as the beginning. It is within the state that the family is first developed into civil society."
Most critics have no difficulty with Hegel's idea that the state is the beginning. He means here that the state establishes constitutional law, which is necessary for developing a civil society out of the family. The state creates the law, and the law is meant to guarantee freedom. But critics like Karl Marx want to know what Hegel means when he says that the state is the true ground of the family and civil society. The underlying question here is this. What happens to the family and civil society when both are encompassed by the state? Hegel says we can understand them only when we view the state as a stage in the dialectic of history. Marx was one of the first to focus the issue. How can freedom be dependent on the state? To begin with, Hegel says that freedom actually exists in the family and civil society. It's not merely an ideal yet to be realized. Marx takes this point seriously, but he becomes suspicious when Hegel insists that the rights and welfare of families and society depend entirely on the authority of the state.
We must understand that laws and interests of family and civil society must give way in the event of collision to the laws and interests of the state. They are subordinate to the state.